All right, this is section 15 of Staying Connected. In his autobiography, writing of his time in Weimar, 1894, Rudolf Steiner tells of how two people who had passed through the gate of death helped him create his main philosophical work, Intuitive Thinking as a Spiritual Path, a Philosophy of Freedom. An example of working with the dead. My friendship with Heinrich Frankl led to something else. Frankl introduced me to his family. He had a very charming wife and sister-in-law. Through them, I met yet another family. Then something occurred that was like a replica of the remarkable destiny connection I had once encountered in Vienna, where I had been intimately associated with a family. I never saw the head of the family, but I became so close to him in soul and spirit that when he died, I could give the funeral address as if for my nearest friend. Through his family, the whole spiritual nature of this man stood before my soul in full reality. Now I entered into practically the same relationship with the father of the family I met indirectly through the liberal politician Frankl. The father of this family had died a short while before, and the widow lived piously in thoughts of her husband. It happened that I was leaving the place where I had been staying in Weimar, and that I took lodgings with this family. There I saw the library of the deceased, who had been a person of wide interests, but just like that other man in Vienna, he had avoided contact with people. Like the other man, too, he had lived in a world of his own, regarded by others as an odd character. I experienced these two men, whom I did not meet in physical life, in the same way. It was as if they entered my destiny, quote, behind the scenes of existence, unquote. In Vienna, a beautiful bond had developed between me and the family of the one who was to me, quote, known yet unknown, unquote, while in Weimar an even more significant bond arose between me and the family of this other man, who was known to me in the same way. I know that most people will regard what I must now say about these two known yet unknown persons as sheer fantasy, for it concerns the way I was privileged to come into close contact with these two human souls in the cosmic region where they were after they had gone through the gate of death. Everyone has the unquestionable right to be uninterested in statements about this region, but to treat them as mere fantasy is a different matter. I must emphasize to anyone who does so that I have always approached spiritual knowledge in the same state of clear consciousness as is necessary for the pursuit of such exact branches of knowledge as mathematics or analytical mechanics. Therefore, no one can reproach me for making superficial statements or lacking in responsibility and knowledge when I state the following. The powers of spiritual sight that I then possessed enabled me to enter into a close relationship with these two souls after their earthly deaths. Their disposition after death was different from that of other souls. Normally, life after death is at first closely related to earthly life. Only slowly and gradually does it become like the life we experience in the purely spiritual sphere, where our existence continues until our next earthly life. Both of these known yet unknown souls were thoroughly at home in the materialistic ideas of their age. Both had conceptually assimilated and elaborated the natural scientific way of thinking. The second, with whom I became connected in Weimar, had even studied Billroth and similar scientific thinkers. On the other hand, both had remained distant from any spiritual view of the world during earthly life. No doubt both would have rejected any views of a spiritual kind they might have met because, according to the habits of thought of the time, the facts seemed to demand the prevailing natural scientific way of thinking. But both these men were really bound up with materialism only in their life of thought. Neither led a materialistic life, which would have been logical according to their materialistic thinking, and was predominant all around them. Odd characters in the eyes of the world, quote-unquote, these men lived on a more primitive level than was customary or appropriate to their means. Thus they did not carry over into the spiritual world as fruits for their spiritual individualities any materialism affecting the life of the will, but only the result of materialistic thinking. Naturally, on the whole, all of this took place in the subconsciousness of these two souls. And I was now able to see that after death, the fruit of materialistic thinking as such does not alienate human beings from the divine spiritual world. Such alienation occurs only when the fruit of materialism enters the sphere of the will. After death, the spirit of both men, the one I became connected with in Vienna as well as the one I came to know in Weimar, shone with wonderful light, and their souls were filled with images of those spiritual beings who are bound up with the creation of the world. In their last earthly life, their acquaintance with ideas that had enabled them to think more exactly about material phenomena helped them to gain a discriminating relationship to the world after death, to a degree that would have been impossible had those ideas remained alien to them. The significance of scientific thinking revealed itself to me directly from the spiritual world in the two souls who had thus entered my destined path. I could see that in itself this thinking need not cause us to turn away from a worldview that acknowledges the spirit. It had done so in the case of the two personalities in question because they had found no opportunity during their earthly life to raise scientific thinking to the sphere where experience of the spirit begins. After death, however, they fully accomplished this. I saw then that scientific thinking could be raised into this sphere even during earthly life, if one gathers sufficient inner courage and strength. And by witnessing an event of greatest significance in the spiritual world, I saw that humanity had to develop scientific thinking. In earlier times, thinking was so constituted that it could unite the human soul with the spirit of the supersensible world. Thinking could lead human beings, if they practiced self-knowledge, which is the foundation of all knowledge, to become aware of themselves as the image of a divine spiritual world to which they belonged. But that thinking could never have enabled them to experience themselves as independent, self-contained spiritual beings. Therefore, humanity had to progress to the point of being able to grasp a world of ideas that is kindled not by spirit, but by matter, a world of ideas that is indeed spiritual, but is not derived from the spirit. It is impossible for human beings to kindle in themselves such a world of ideas in the spiritual world where they live between death and a new birth. This must be done in earthly life, for only there does one meet a material form of existence. Through these two souls, I was able to recognize what human beings gain for their life as a whole, including spiritual life after death, by developing scientific thinking. But I saw others as well whose life of will had taken hold of the consequences of abstract scientific thinking. These alienated themselves from the world of spirit. Scientific thinking had caused them to live less in their humanity than would have been the case without it. The two souls had seemed odd, quote, in the eyes of the world, unquote, because they refused instinctively to lose their humanity during earthly life. They assimilated scientific thinking in full measure because they wished to reach the stage in humanity's spiritual development that cannot be attained without it. Had I met these two souls as physical personalities in earthly life, it might well not have been possible for me to attain this insight through them. Great sensitivity of spiritual sight was needed to behold the two individualities within the spiritual world, where their inner natures, and through these, much else, were to be revealed to me. This sensitivity of spiritual sight is easily blunted when experiences of the physical world conceal, or at least impair, what is to be experienced purely spiritually. The unique way these two souls entered my life made me realize even then that this was something predetermined for my path of knowledge. There was nothing spiritistic in my relation to souls in the spiritual world. A relation to the spiritual world had no value for me unless it was based on the direct spiritual perception I later spoke of publicly in my anthroposophical writings. Besides, all the members of the family in Vienna, as well as those of the family in Weimar, were far too sound to have a mediumistic relationship with the dead. Whenever I came across it, I was always interested, even in the kind of seeking that comes to expression in spiritualism. Spiritualism today is a false path to the spirit, followed by souls who seek the spirit in an outer way, even by means of experiments, because they have lost all feeling for a real, true, genuine path. One who has an objective interest in spiritism and no desire to use it as a means of research is best able to assess it and recognize its wrong direction and misguided aims. My own spiritual investigations always followed paths far removed from spiritism in any form. But one could, particularly in Weimar, have interesting discussions with spiritualists, for at one time there was a strong desire among artists to seek a relation to the spirit in this way. Through the two souls, Eunica was the name of the one who had lived, or Eunica, maybe, was the one, E-U-N-I-K-E, was the name of the one who had lived in Weimar, I gained a deeper insight for the content of my book, Intuitive Thinking as a Spiritual Path, A Philosophy of Freedom. This book is, first of all, the result of my philosophical endeavor during the 80s. Secondly, it is a result of my direct insight into the spiritual world generally. Thirdly, its content was enhanced through witnessing the spiritual experiences of these two souls. In them, I perceive the step forward in evolution that humanity owes to the scientific view of the world. But they also revealed the fear sensitive souls experience of letting this worldview influence their will. These souls shrank back from the ethical consequences of such a worldview. In intuitive thinking as a spiritual path, I therefore attempted to present the power that leads from scientific ideas, which are ethically neutral, into the sphere of moral impulses. I attempted to show that because we no longer live in ideas that simply stream into us from the spirit, but in ideas kindled by physical existence, we experience ourselves consciously as self-contained, spiritually oriented beings, and that this experience enables us to develop intuition for morality out of our own self. This means that morality lights up within the independent individuality as individual ethical impulses, just as do ideas concerning the outer world. The two souls had not advanced to such moral intuition. This was why they shrank back unconsciously from life. They saw life only in relation to scientific ideas that were not developed to reach beyond the sphere of matter. Ellipsis, end of section 15.